Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
Today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18, and also I want to read a verse from John chapter 20, verse 17, if you have your Bibles. And the message today is the power of the blood. It's our fourth message on the blood, and today we're going to focus on peace, how the blood has made peace. And you may be someone who is seeking the Lord, or maybe perhaps you're feel like you've been drifting and you're just asking yourself, God, I just want to feel your presence again. I want to be brought near again and near to you, just as they just sang. You can do that as you come back to the Lord Jesus and confess your sins, repent of your sins, and confess the Lord that He is God. Remember what He did for you on the cross, how He shed His blood for you, and He paid for your sin debt. And draw near to Him, because Jesus has covered your sins, and He has forgiven you as far as the east is from the west. And He desires a daily fellowship with His saints. But also, if you're today and you're hearing this message and you're seeking the Lord, and maybe you haven't got your life right with the Lord, maybe you have a family or a friend and that needs Jesus, and you're just looking for something to equip you to share the gospel, well, you can take the message today and the verses that we're going to share, and you can use that to help bring somebody to Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and get into this. So if you got your Bibles now, Ephesians chapter 2, if you are where you can, and you can stand for the reading of God's Word in honor of His Word, you can do that. But we'll be in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. Think about that. It's worth underlining right there. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the hostility or the enmity, that is the law of commandments. It's because none of us could keep the law, contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. That's the second part, thus making peace. Now look at verse 16. And that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity or the hostility. Verse 17. Now here's the third part that I want you to see. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now I want to read a verse in John. It's when Jesus had resurrected from the grave. John chapter 20, verse 17. And this is what Jesus says to Mary. Remember, Mary thought that Jesus might be the gardener. And Mary is trying to find find Jesus who is resurrected from the tomb. And she supposes the gardener had took away the body of Jesus. And verse 17 says, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to Me, for I have not yet ascended to My Father, but go to My brethren and say to them, I am ascending to My Father and your Father and to My God and your God." Now, why did Jesus say, "Do not cling to Me"? We'll get into that in just a second. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And God, we thank You for the peace that we have by Your blood from Calvary's cross, because You resurrected from the grave, that our faith is not in vain. And because You are alive and well today, that eternal blood, that eternal Spirit, and eternal Savior is with us at this moment, this very moment. Lord, draw us near to You and speak directly to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, why did Jesus say, "Do not cling to Me"? The Bible says that thus we no longer know Him in the flesh. Before Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the grave, The disciples, for the most part, saw Jesus, even though they confessed that he had the words of eternal life. They saw his miracles. They saw Jesus in the flesh the way we would see each other in the flesh. But after Jesus was glorified and he came out of that grave, and now he has the eternal blood, the eternal spirit, all of these things to offer salvation, and he is now thus no longer known in the flesh. He came in the flesh, but now we know him as the Savior God that is in heaven at the right hand of the throne, interceding on behalf of us. And so Jesus says, do not cling to me. And there's a lot of different commentators have different reasons for why he said that. And I can't be dogmatic on one or the other. But I'll just say this, that he says the most important part is this. Watch this. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now, when did Jesus ascend to his Father? He ascended to the Father at Pentecost, 50 days later after the resurrection. He ascended to the Father, and he told his disciples to wait for him and that he would send the Comforter. And so Jesus goes into glory 50 days later, sends the Holy Spirit to dwell with the brethren. Now, watch this. He says, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. What you see in that last portion of verse 17 is literally the peace of God with man. He's saying, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He's saying, you believe in me and you believe in what I just did for you at the cross. The same God that I serve, which Jesus is God, God the Son, he says is going to be your God. The same, you, just as I am a brethren to you through identifying with you, you're going to be a brethren to me. In other words, you have all the inheritance of heaven. You have all the spiritual blessings that are talked about in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, because I've identified with you. Now, what does that mean? It means that by his blood, peace could finally come. Peace couldn't come until he shed his blood. So the first point that I want you to see, and I'm back in Ephesians, is this. The blood and resurrection of Christ affirms that, number one, and I'm going to give you all three points right off the bat because I want you to see how they flow together. That number one, he is our peace. That's what he says in verse 14, Ephesians 2. He says, for he himself is our peace. So he is our peace. The second thing you see in our text is he has made peace. Look at verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Now, this is going to be something that you may be reading this and not quite getting it and thinking that that's the part of having peace with God. Now, this is the part of having peace with other people that know Christ. So we're going to see that. So the first one is Jesus is our peace. The second one, he has made peace. He comes to end the war between each other. And then the third one is he preached peace to all people. Look at verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Folks, that is good news, what we just saw in Ephesians chapter 2. So he is our peace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, very important scriptures to remember. In fact, when we were meeting on Wednesday nights, you might remember that we would many times start out our prayer time with Hebrews 4:16 to remind us of why we can come to the throne. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit here in just a second, but I want you to see Hebrews 4:13. He says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. Think about that. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Did you know that every single human being is going to have to give an account to the Lord? Now, I know that It's different for some, like a little baby that dies or a really, really young, small child. But we are going to stand an account before the Lord for our lives and how we lived. And he's saying everything that we've done is naked and open to the eyes of him. Now, here's why peace by his blood is important. Because if you stand before the Lord, and we talked about it a little last week, and you have not been covered by the blood, then it means that you are naked before God. You have no covering. And if you stand without the Savior in your heart, without the blood covering you of your sins, then you are naked and exposed to the wrath of the Lord. Do you want to die and face the Lord in judgment with that on your plate? When the books will be opened and there's nothing you can do and you won't have any excuse for why you didn't receive the Lord? Because you see, the Lord is working in your life. The Lord can do what we cannot do as human beings. I preach the word, but it's God who actually works the heart. And God can go to a person that lives off in the middle of a jungle somewhere, and he can speak to that heart. He can declare his glory. He can show who he is, even through nature that is around them. There's not a man on this planet that will be out without an excuse. And God, as the man seeks God, God responds to that seeking. As a person longs for the Lord and prays and says, I just want to understand you. Listen, God can show up in their dreams. He can show up any way that he decides to show up. Why? Because there's nothing impossible for God. And so the Bible tells us here that we're all going to have to give an account. Listen, when I stand before the Lord, there isn't but one way I want to stand, because I know that he would have to strike me dead instantly and put me in hell for all eternity if it was not for the blood. Because Bruce Rudd's not perfect. I'm not perfect. Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 5:48, he says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And there's no man that can do that. Who can be as perfect as God? Who can live a life that would be as perfect as God? The Pharisees were very legalistic. They thought that if anybody would be in heaven, that they'd be in heaven because they do this and they do that. And they had all these do's, but their heart was far away from God. And Jesus knew their sin. Their sin was self-righteousness. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah that our righteousness is as of a filthy rag, our righteousness. But his righteousness is good. His righteousness brings peace. His righteousness is sacrificial. His righteousness is what justifies. He says our righteousness is as of a filthy rag. And the Pharisees probably thought, I can't be as perfect as God in heaven. Now they're finally getting somewhere. And Jesus is saying, I'm headed to a cross. And I am the perfect one. And if the Father is going to see you and as reconciled to himself where there is peace, then he is going to have to see you as covered by my blood. Because if you're not covered by my blood, then the Father accepts me on behalf of you, and I am as perfect as my Father in heaven. Jesus says, I'm the one that's perfect. And if you have me, you have my righteousness that God gets to see. Now, we are to be holy and strive to be pleasing to God and to live for him. In fact, our new nature demands that. Our new nature calls us to a life of holiness, calls us to a life that's pleasing to God. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's start in verse 22. I want to show you how this connects with our confidence. In Hebrews 4:16, we have confidence to come to the throne room in prayer. Let's start in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, that's confidence, that's assurance, to enter the holiest. How? How can you enter the holiest? How can you go into the throne room of God while you're in your living room, while you're in your car, while you're in your house? How can you go to the throne room of God? You go to the throne room of God right here in verse 19 by the blood of Jesus. That's how. You see, his blood was not a one-time blood. It's a one-time sacrifice, but it's an eternal blood. It will continue to keep you saved and continue to cover you for all of eternity. Why? Because Jesus was the eternal Spirit of God. He was one with God. And he spilled his life blood for an eternal covering. He says, how does that work? Verse 20, he describes it. So how is it by the blood of Jesus? Verse 20 says, by a new and a living way. He says it's a living way, it's a life way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Remember the veil in the holiest of holies. When Jesus died on the cross, remember, he says, it is finished, and the temple veil split from the top down as he opened a way for us to enter into heaven by the blood. Listen, the cross is vital to every single person on this planet today. You ask yourself, how can I have peace? You're going to have it through the cross. Look at verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts, that's the inner being, sprinkled from an evil conscience. He removes the guilt of the sin. Why? Because he has forgiven the sin. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. It's powerful. I want you to think about the second part of Ephesians 2. The first one is he himself is our peace. He died for our sins on the cross. The second one is this. He has made peace. I can remember when Teresa and I was dating, and I fell in love with Teresa. I knew that after the first 2 weeks of our dating that I was going to be married to her. Matter of fact, I wanted to marry her right then. I was just ready to get married. I knew that she was the right one, and I didn't need to go to any other car lots and check out any other vehicles. I knew that Teresa was the car I wanted. Yes. And so I thought to myself, self, if I ask her to marry this soon, my family will think I've gone nuts. They'll think I'm crazy. But you see, I loved her. And I knew, by the way, we were married within 6 months. And it's been a great marriage. And it's been good. But I want to tell you, here's the thing about it. I could date Teresa for years and years and years, but I'm not committed. Or I can marry Teresa, and then it's a commitment in the relationship. Some of us have dated Jesus for years and years and years, but we don't want to have to repent. We don't want to have to make a commitment to Jesus. But Jesus says you have to repent. You know what? Repentance, it's not a bad word. Repentance is a good word. Because repentance means I'm changing now from the direction I'm going to the direction I need to go, and I'm making a commitment that I want the blood of Christ to cover me from my sins. We look at the chaos in our world today, and you know why there's so much chaos? Chaos in the streets, chaos of ideologies, chaos of philosophies. You know why there's so much chaos? Because there's no peace. There's no peace between peoples. There's no peace between each other. There's no peace with God, and until there's peace with God, there cannot be peace with another person. That's what Jesus meant in verse 15. He says, he has made peace. He has made peace. Now, look at verse 15, or start in verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. He's talking about two groups of people here. Did you know that the Jews, they were God's chosen people, Israel. And God brought all the blessings to Israel. By the way, Israel was to be a light to the Gentile nations. They were to be an advertisement for the Gentiles to put their faith in Jesus Christ. They were to be carrying the banner of the Lord so that whenever the Gentile nations looked at Israel, they saw that God was blessing them. They saw how God had this redemption plan through blood. They saw how God did this and how God did that. And they were revealing the character and the love of God and the mercy of God, the saving grace of God. And so what happened, though, is Israel got prejudiced in themselves. Israel thought, hey, we are the only ones that God loves. God doesn't love anybody else. He just loves us. They misunderstood. And so it caused a lot of hostility, enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. You say, who are the Gentiles? Gentiles were any other nation of people besides Israel. And so there began to be this divide, and it was like this wall, and these would have nothing to do with these, and these would have nothing to do with these, and there was all this hostility. But remember what Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus said that I've gone to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. You see, whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, And whenever a Gentile accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, the wall fell. Now there was the ability to be of a different people, a people of God. And so it doesn't matter what color a person is. It doesn't matter what nation a person is from. It doesn't matter who that person is or what that person's done. When a person gives their heart to Jesus Christ, they become our brother and sister in Christ. And now our heart is filled with love for them. That's how peace comes to this earth. Peace will never come through some political system. Peace will never come through anything else. You can, listen, you can, what's the word I'm looking for? Demand your rights all day long. But the truth is, there'll never be peace until we have Jesus Christ. I say what's wrong with our nation today is that we have forsaken God. And I think that God is removing all the idols through the pandemic and through all the other things. All the idols are falling. You know what an idol is? An idol is anything that gets between us and God. He has tore down the idols. And I believe that we're on the precipice of the third great awakening. I believe that we're going to see salvations like we've never seen, because God is putting people where they have nothing but Him to turn to. And I'm thankful for that. I'm not thankful for all that we're going through, but I'm thankful that we have a God that loves us enough that He sees something worse than everything else this world has to offer. You know what's worse than all these things that's going on? We say this chaos is bad. Let me tell you what's worse. What's worse is to take your last breath and not be covered by the blood of Jesus. And then to open your eyes in hell. And open your eyes and your sin is naked unto God. And to realize that I should have listened to what the preacher had to say. I was convicted that I needed to get right with God. But no, I wanted my rights. And I wanted to demand my rights. And God says, you missed it. Your sin now is before me. You missed it. Your sin is exposed, and now you're under my wrath. What the world has done today is said, we don't want God. We don't want God in our schools. We don't want God in our marriages. We don't want God anywhere. We don't want God anywhere and on any platform. Why? Because they hate the light, lest their deeds be exposed by the light. And I want to tell you that that is the need today. You see, your life on this earth, it's just a vapor. That's all it is. It's a vapor. And God made you. He's creator. He's not just a God that's giving you an option. He is the God that's giving you your next heartbeat. You're alive today because you have a God that's giving you life. And that's our third point, by the way, is He preached peace to all people. Jesus came, in fact, Acts 10:36. Says the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. You know what? I love the punctuation in that verse. It'll have a dash. And then it'll say, He is Lord of all. Did you know that? Did you know He is Lord of all? He's Lord of every single person on this earth, every single person on this planet. Whether you confess Him as Lord today or confess Him as Lord later, you're going to realize He is Lord. You can make Him master now of your life, and you can repent, and you can turn from your sins, and you come to Jesus just as you are. And when you come to Jesus just as you are, you know what He'll do? He'll forgive you, and He'll save you, and He'll cleanse you, and He'll give you a peace. And you'll feel that peace between yourself and God, and you'll feel that peace between yourself and other believers. The hope of our nation today is only going to be found in Jesus Christ. It's not going to be found anywhere else. You can't do it. And I know that's a message a lot of people don't want to hear. I can't help it. It's the truth. It is the truth of the Word of God. It's proven through time. You have a God that created you, that loves you. He created the birds you see. He created the sky you see. He created the trees, the oceans. He created all this. It didn't come from a big bang. None of that. It came from the creation and the Creator God. How else could this world hold together apart from God? Why won't you give your life to Jesus? Why won't you come to Him? I've asked Brother Kevin if he would come with his praise team and sing Just As I Am. And while they're getting ready and while they're coming up here, I want to share something with you. I don't know if you've heard of Charlotte Elliott, but years ago, a lady by the name of Charlotte Elliott asked a Christian man how she could become a Christian. Her life was far away from God. And the man replied, said, "Charlotte, just come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus." But she said, "Oh, you don't understand. I am a great sinner. Will he take me just as I am?" The man said, "Yes, Charlotte. He will take you just as you are and no other way. That's how you come to Jesus." Then she said, "If he will take me just as I am, then I will come to him." That day, Charlotte Elliott was saved. Later in life, she wrote a hymn based on her testimony and how she just came, just as she was, to Jesus. It's the hymn, "Just As I Am." It says, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." That's how you can be perfect before God. "And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that there's somebody that needs to come to you today, and they know they need to come to you. And Lord, maybe they've been trying to clean their lives up year after year after year to get your approval, but they've never come to the cross. They've never come to the gospel, the good news of salvation. They're just trying to please you with a good work. And they need to be saved by grace. They need your mercy. And Father, I pray you speak directly to that heart. Just come to Jesus just as you are. You may be a Christian, and maybe you feel that you've been drifting. Would you come back to the Lord? Come back to him in full faith. Come back to him in repentance. Turn from the way you're going and turn back to the Lord. And say, "Lord, I'm committed to you. And I'm going to follow you all the days of my life." And you know what will happen? The joy of the Lord will fill your heart when you do that. Brother Kevin's going to lead us in "Just As I Am."
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Now listen to this.
"Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse me, spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Now pay close attention to this verse.
"Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Amen.
I pray that this morning that maybe you have accepted Christ this morning. If you did, would you let us know? I just want you to understand one thing as we end the service. You can never have peace until you have Jesus.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.